Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Can you hear me on this mic? No. The microphones are having a problem today. Can you hear me now? Is this a little better? Okay. Good morning. I'm Holly Barreto, part of the Adult Education Committee, and we are here today to look at the Nassau Presbyterian Church mission statement. We will be led by Carol Wareheim and Kim Cleason, who will be joining us after she finishes her moment of mission in the service. I think they'll give you some more details about this, but the mission statement was crafted before COVID, then COVID happened, and so it's time to revisit us. That Nassau members Kim Cleason and Carol Wareheim have served as deacons and ruling elders. They were both on the writing team for the mission statement and the strategic themes for action. And with that, I will hand this over to Carol, if you could give her a warm welcome.
We're going to say they can ask questions throughout. Okay. Well, welcome, everyone. I keep wanting to do this because these are readers. But I can't see my script if I don't have them on. But when I put them on, you all look a little fuzzy.
That's probably good.
Okay, I'll just keep it that way. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this beautiful fall day and for the rain yesterday. We give you thanks for this congregation, and we ask that this morning you help us think about its place in the world and our place in it and the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, Kim and I began our journey with mission statements at Nassau in 1996. It was after Wallace Alston had completed his pastorate here, and we were just beginning, maybe a year into or so, a four-year interim with Clarence Ammons. And the session, or someone, I'm not sure who, thought it would be a good idea, since there hadn't been a mission statement or vision statement written for some years, I don't know how many, that we revisit that during the interim period. We didn't think it was going to be 4 years. Our imagination was we would write this vision and mission statement, and a new pastor would be on board immediately. That didn't happen. So a group was appointed. Kim and I were on that group. And there she appears, just like that. She has a mic for you. So we worked on that one. We're not going to talk about that any more than that. Move a few years beyond that to 2019. We have a new pastor, Dave Davis. And he's been here for some time. And why don't we look at writing a mission statement? So a writing team was appointed. Bill Krieger, Ross Anderson Flood, Dave Davis, Kim Cleason, and Carol Wareheim. I think we're getting a reputation. This was in November 2019. And we were, that session meeting in that November was to be the beginning of a evening, all-day Saturday workshop to prepare to write the mission statement. It snowed on Thursday. No session meeting. Had that happened now, we would have just Zoomed. Canceled the session meeting, so Saturday was crammed full of this workshop that Kim co-led with the consultant that Dave knew from working on a national committee. We ended up with some strategic areas that we were to consider. I'm just going to read those to you. Creating and serving in a diverse community. Education for every age. Our impact on community and the larger church. Our worship life. Care and compassion for one another. Then there was this, there's always the other category, which was big hopes and dreams. So as I said, a writing team was appointed, and the task of the writing team was to come up with something by the January 2020 session meeting. We did. We worked hard. We came up with a statement, took it to that session meeting, and we talked about it there. And session members were to go off to their committees and have their committees look at this draft of the statement. We were told when we were writing it that we were to write it as a single mission vision statement, nothing. You know how at one point we were very, supposedly very clear about what was a mission statement, what was a vision statement. It was never all that clear to me, but some people thought it was very clear. We decided to have one statement, short rather than long, and interesting enough that it clearly stated, use the words God, Jesus, or God's word. Because apparently the previous one wasn't so clear about that. So we came back with this draft statement, gave it to the session to go out and talk to committees about, to see how it lined up against the kind of ministries that they were doing, and to come back in February. So now we're going to look at that mission statement very briefly.
You can have one unless you know it by heart.
Yes.
In which case you get bonus points.
We have it for you.
You're welcome.
Everybody have one? Okay, we're going to read it in unison. The people of Nassau Presbyterian Church celebrate
and demonstrate God's love through worship and service in Princeton and through our lives and work in the world. Committed to Jesus Christ, our community welcomes the breadth of humanity
and the challenge of the gospel. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, people of all ages can find a place here to seek abundant life and nurture faith. By God's grace in our lives, we engage with the world, yearn to do what is just and fair, encourage what is kind and helpful, and seek to walk humbly before God and alongside our neighbors. I assume that last line is in smaller letters because that's humbleness. Right?
Not a typo.
No, I'm sure it was intended that way, right? Well, they came back and they had some reports for us. And then you know what happened in March. It all changed. But Kim has some information about what they brought back as in their reports.
But before we do that, Carol and I think, have somewhat of a reputation that we always want to engage you all in doing something. Dave would say, where's your post-it notes, Kim? I didn't bring post-it notes, but we have a sheet for each of you. So there's a front and a back. I'd like you to look at the front. So you don't need to work ahead. Carol will have some. Yeah, these are my notes. Carol?
Everybody have one?
The front row.
Need some. Oh, I thought you had
so we'd like you to just take a moment, look at the mission statement, and reflect on what's in the mission statement, and just jot down if you recognize any of the words and phrases in there, and if you do, where have you seen or heard them around the church? So just take a moment and either think about that or jot them down. The words or phrases that you recognize from having seen them or heard them from around the church, and where?
take them back to the pastor?
Oh, yeah.
What? Yes, that's okay. You haven't signed. That's what they're doing right now. He told me he has it memorized. We did test him on that.
There's a lot of notes being written. I thank you for taking this seriously. We were debating asking Dave if he could stand up and say it from memory, but we'll pass on that. So I think we're really heartened to see you so much jotting of notes. And while we're not going to like do a full report out, because we really wanted it was for you to reflect on the mission statement, but I think I'm curious, maybe just a couple people, what phrase stood out or do you remember hearing around the church?
Oh, no.
At the end, it comes from Micah.
Okay. Okay.
And every time I sit in the sanctuary and look at the words up in the chancel, I wish that the Micah phrase was up there instead.
Okay. Okay, that's a plug for something else, probably. But thank you, Juanel. Lorraine. Oh, I'm sorry. So Juanel said the last phrase comes from Micah's, and she loves that phrase, and she wishes that the words across the front of the church reflected that verse. Lorraine.
Well, I want to speak up in favor of the words across. yes, those three, they do justice, kindness, and walk humbly. I saw it on a banner at one time, and mm-hmm. I think
so Lorraine's reflecting on do justice, walk humbly with your God, seeing it on a banner, hearing it in sermons, and that those are really important words for us. David, and then I think I saw Keith.
Just a comment. I appreciate the symmetry. Three paragraphs on the one Trinity, one paragraph on the three elements of Micah.
So David said he appreciates the symmetry of three paragraphs on the Trinity and then the statement from Micah. Thank you. Keith, did you have your hand up?
Well, yes,
and then we'll come
so,
here.
I thought part of this question was where have we seen these? And I think many of these words, including the last phrase that I like so much, is appear on the banners that we have out in front of the church various times.
So Keith is reflecting that many of the words appear on banners outside of the church. So we'll go here and then back there. So then we'll do two more.
If you watch a service or participate in service by Zoom, the mission statement comes up afterward. And it's very familiar now. But I am drawn to the section on committed to Jesus Christ, our community welcomes the breadth of humanity.
Okay.
And the challenge of the gospel.
Okay. So being drawn to, committed to Jesus Christ, welcoming the breadth of humanity, and leaning into the gospel. Those, if you remember, Carol said that we were charged as a group to bring in the words God and Jesus Christ into this one. So thank you for noticing that. And one more.
Well, it's the same phrase, the breadth of humanity and the challenge of the gospel. Dave says that every single time he welcomes the congregation and whoever is worshiping
right.
Into the service. So that's the phrase, the exact words that I remember during our meeting.
Great. Okay, great. The breadth of humanity and the challenge of the gospel coming from the pulpit on a very consistent basis. So thank you for really thinking about that. I'll say that, and I probably, it warms your heart too, Carol, and hopefully Bill, to sort of hear that you're reflecting, having heard these words, maybe you couldn't have said all of the mission statement, but the pieces of it are coming through in our work and our lives together. So let me pick up and tell you what we were going to do after that session meeting in February, which was the last session meeting that we were face-to-face for a long time. So we had a lot of really good ideas. The session had contributed, the writing group. Here's my notes. So between Carol and I, of course, we found all the documents in our files. But here's my notes from that. So I'm not going to read them all, but here's a smattering of things. Put the statement on the website. We did that. Invite members to submit statements about how the mission statement connects to their life. Do a mission statement devotional, like the Lenten devotional. Put it in visitor bags in the hallway. Then we thought about the community. There was Communiversity was coming up at that time, or so we thought. We would have put it on the tables. We thought about putting it in some of the newspaper publications, having them near arm in arm, having a large banner on the wall, reading it in worship as a responsive reading, and on it goes. Featuring the statement in small groups, in adult ed classes, discussing it in youth group and fellowship. So we had a lot of ideas. Those are just a few of them. That was February, and then we all remember in March, everything got shut down, and we all pivoted to meeting the challenges that COVID brought to us. And it's not that the mission statement got forgotten, but all of those thoughts about the many ways we could make it come to life, some of them couldn't happen, obviously, but it sort of also pivoted. We kept things alive through the pandemic through a couple things, couple ways. I think you've all highlighted, you've heard it from the pulpit. You hear the words in worship. That's been very intentional on the part of Dave and the staff to use the exact words in worship. We used for several years, we took each section and used it as a theme for our stewardship campaigns. We had talked about having people speak to the mission statement's impact in their life. We wrapped that into the stewardship campaign, and when we were all live streaming worship, you might remember in the fall there were video clips during stewardship of people talking about what Nassau meant to them and how it had impacted their life. So that was very much connected to the mission statement and saying what all of that meant to them. Staff and committees, as you heard Carol say, were charged with focusing and linking their work to the mission. And so those were the main ways that we kind of quickly pivoted and said, how can we keep this alive, even though we can't do everything? I wanted to give you some examples of how the committees under the staff leadership have implemented the mission statement. And so I went to several committees, and let me tell you what they sent back to me. So in worship and arts, Noel highlighted these things. So in multi-generational care, Once he was able to have Grace Note singers meet together again in person, they made the decision to move Grace Note singers to Stonebridge to better serve those with mobility and other challenges. So it had been meeting at the Kingston Presbyterian Church, and they moved that group to Stonebridge. I believe that was last year. It was also the priority from the mission statement that informed an increasing number of multi-generational opportunities. That's through some of the Art of Faithfulness groups, small groups, and community events. In learning and faith formation, Noel and the committee work very hard at putting forth a truly viable form of worship participation and engagement. So we don't just sit and worship and take it in and have it sort of said, sung to us, but we are engaged and participate with scripture, with song, with responsive readings. In outreach, the efforts of that committee have been to forge continued musical relationships with other houses of worship. First Baptist, participating in their gospel music festival, sharing leadership last year with the Interfaith Martin Luther King service. And those all reflect that committee's desire to help us share our resources and learn from other faith communities. And finally, Noel works very hard and does personally a lot of work in providing consulting to music programs at other churches and also through the Presbytery Association of Musicians. He and Lauren have really helped that group understand some of the copyright issues present when you start live streaming. So that's some of the reaching out into the larger community. The deacon work, deacons under Lauren McPheeter's leadership, of course, deacon work, I think, is all about the mission. So it's about welcoming all, welcoming the breadth of humanity. Lauren's structure now is structuring the deacons against, I think she calls it life stages. And so having people, deacons supporting newborns and youth and an aging population. So they're thinking about it in life stages. The deacons do a lot of mission work, packing for Arm in Arm, a lot of the, what do we call it at Christmas, the?
Help for Haiti Tree.
Thank you. Yeah, the Help for Haiti Tree. Thank you. I drew a blank.
With baking,
the
too.
Baking, of course. No, it's nothing to be sorry about. You just got ahead of me. I was going to be right there. And then, as always, they encourage what's kind and helpful. So staffing the church on Sunday mornings, distributing flowers, taking the baked goods that the bakers bake to those who can't get to the church. You could go on and on about the work of deacons. Mission and outreach. So Len sent me. Do you want me to read it, or would you like to?
I can summarize it if you want me to.
Sure. What? Oh, well.
I'm having creative.
Okay. All right. So mission and outreach. So that committee has worked on deepening existing partnerships and initiating new ones. So they have been very involved with the Princeton Housing Stability Coalition and Support Homeworks in Trenton. So that's that outreach as well as social justice. They collaborate with other organizations and congregations to provide rental assistance and investing in the leadership formation of young women of color in Trenton. So NASAW, under their leadership, is responding to needs in our community. Through increased funding to mission and outreach, and that comes particularly from designations from bequests that they've received, the committee's been able to broaden their discretionary grants, which has been in response to global crisis. And I'll just add a personal note of thanks to that committee. Last fall, I brought to them an opportunity to partner with my parents' church in Ohio in support of a church in Ukraine. And that committee provided a grant that allowed the church in Ukraine to purchase a van that they can go now and pick up groceries and bring to the shelter that they're supporting. So I really thank the committee for that. They've also supported organizations in Lebanon, and then short-term support of projects that help global neighbors. So lots of work done there. And then, of course, the impact in the larger church, in PCUSA, is so seen and so impactful by the work that Len led and is leading in Bending the Moral Arc. And our work with the healing of the relationships with Witherspoon and forging positive and relationships for the future, that has become a model within the PCUSA. And so for all of the work Len there, we're just deeply grateful. In youth ministry, of course, there's mission trips, faith formation for young people, the confirmation process, and their ability to express their faith through music and service to worship, which is really important in their faith journey. So Carol and I hope that all of this inspires you to look around NASA and find other ways and other places where we're living out our mission. So I believe before we give you our second assignment, I think we have time for any questions.
We have a little time for some questions or comments.
First of all, is it?
It's fine. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay. I think the hunger offering should be in there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good.
The challenge, of course, was naming everything when you begin thinking about it.
That's something our congregation does very generously.
For decades. Thank you.
Almost, I think the giving tripled during the pandemic and has continued not at that level, but almost double.
To the hunger offering.
Wonderful. So Len said that the hunger offering donations tripled during the pandemic, and since we've been back, it's not triple, but it's double what it was before. That's wonderful. Thank you, Pam.
Just in terms of children, and I'm sure there's lots that could be there, but as I looked at this statement and thought about the time with the children, that the words fair, kind, and helpful, and mm-hmm. love, that are words that children can really relate to, come up so consistently in that. And so I don't know which department is in charge of that, but I think that should be added.
Great. Thank you.
Lorraine.
I'm down at Arm in Arm one day a week, and occasionally one of our clients will ask about the Sunday school or something to do with the church. It occurs to me that there was some kind of poster near that door that was very welcoming and inviting, that would be a good position for people to see. They're very impressed with the playground.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you. My name is Eric Server. I'm at Overseas Ministry Study Center for writing a Presbyterian mission history for North India and Pakistan. Okay. But because I'm a musician and an artist, so I saw your work, like worship and arts, multi-generational faith formation, worship participation, outreach, musical relationship, and then youth through music and art and worship. Thank you very much for doing that, because this is the future of mission, which is more doxological, and that is one of my research area. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. This congregation has a long and deep history and engagement with music and the arts. So if nobody else has anything to say, we're going to put you back to work. So you might want to think carefully. All right. So if you flip your paper over, you'll see the second question. Now that we've had this discussion, and thank you for your contributions and your add-ons, but what we'd just like to challenge you is to think now about a piece of the statement that particularly resonates for you, and I think you've named some of those, and jot down maybe one to three ways that you personally could live that out, that section of the statement out, over the coming weeks and months.
As we get ready to conclude this session, would anyone like to read just one of yours? A couple examples of what you've thought? Yes, Pam?
Yeah, this week I'm really thinking about Israel. Probably we all are, and what's happening there. And the church has a connection to churches in the Middle East. And I think it's a time to raise that or celebrate it or pay attention to it.
Thank you.
I'll follow up on that statement. I'm very grateful for this church's commitment to the Interfaith Stitchers for Peace. And based on the thoughts that Pam has given us, our meetings in the next few weeks might be a little challenging, so I ask for prayers for things to continue to go well with that organization.
Certainly. Thank you. Someone else?
Hi again.
That's good.
So I'm traveling to California next week for a Psalm Festival, which is 7th annual Psalm Festival. And we are raising up funds for churches, Presbyterian churches burned in Pakistan last month. So we are providing for worship articles like music instruments and altar table, as well as pulpit for the three Presbyterian churches in Pakistan.
Thank you for letting us know that.
One of the things that I wanted to comment on both in the Q&A, but also in terms of what I've been thinking about with the coming months, is the gratitude for using the language of the breadth of humanity versus needing to list out every specific instance that that's covering. Because I think if there's anything the last weeks and months and years have shown is like that category is ever bigger, whether it's around race or class, interfaith work, violence, there's so much. And so I think it's a real moment, especially as we're kind of like heading into what is like oftentimes like a real kind of thankfulness season. You know, it's fall and we're moving that way, of really kind of thinking about the different ways that that call to serve the breadth of humanity is really kind of making, I think it pulls on different threads for each of us, but the call is wide enough for everybody to kind of find their way into it, which I think is so beautiful. And I think for me especially, and I was thinking about like the Adult Ed Committee, I'm really grateful of the work that we started this fall with the, you know, kind of welcoming our neighbor and kind of thinking about accessibility and just wanting that to kind of continue to be something that we're thinking about, not just in topics, but in practice. And just really grateful that this is a place that we can do that together.
Thank you. Anyone? Keith, over here.
Okay, locally. I wanted to respond to the idea about seeking abundant life and nurturing faith. And I find that participating in small groups and in this adult education program, even though You know, not all of us have a chance to be leaders in that process, but occasional leadership, that this is a valuable opportunity for us to help each other and newcomers to do this nurturing of faith and feeling welcome. And because I find that all over the room, when we have different topics, there are just great ideas that pop up and good thoughts and inspiring ideas. And I think those are very helpful to me, and I can't imagine that they're not helpful to others. So.
Thank you, Keith. Julia.
Well, I was thinking when I was reading the mission statement, the last part, engaging in the world, yearning to do what is just and fair, kind and helpful, welcome. We are also lucky because we live at Stonebridge and we live in a community. So we're right there. We have all of these things that we can do with a community of close to 400 people. And so if you're involved there with the Residents Association, as I am, you can do all of these things, and you really make a home for people, and you can work together and really appreciate that you're together as people are going through all kinds of different stages in their lives, mostly issues and problems. But it's we have the platform. We're very lucky, very lucky.
Right. I would have to echo that.
Bill, okay. Bill, were you still looking to say something?
Oh, okay. We have time.
Just one thing that struck me as I read this on the last one, the just and fair, helpful. We use the term neighbors, and in an organization that I'm doing some work with called Solidaridad, this is helping people who are seeking asylum here. And we don't refer to them as clients or anything else. We refer to them as neighbors. Mm-hmm. And even though they're from not close, what you'd normally think of in terms of a neighbor, that's the way we deal with them.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. A good use of the word neighbors. Right. We're going to conclude by using the mission statement as a way of praying, a litany prayer. When I say to do this faithfully, your response is, we pray for your help. To do this faithfully. Gracious and loving God, we wish to celebrate and demonstrate your love through worship and service in Princeton, and through our lives and work in the world. To do this faithfully, committed to Jesus Christ, we want to welcome the breadth of humanity and the challenge of the gospel. To do this faithfully,
we ask for your help.
Through the power of your Holy Spirit, we want people of all ages to find a place here, to seek abundant life and nurture faith. To do this faithfully, we pray for your help. By your grace in our lives, we will engage with the world. We'll yearn to do what is just and fair. We'll encourage what is kind and helpful. And we'll seek to walk humbly before you and alongside our neighbors. To do this faithfully, and the people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, Carol and Kim, for your time. A quick housekeeping note. I'm going to put the pen cup on the table, if you could please return your pens. And I'm going to hand it over to Len to give a quick preview of what's coming up.
Thank you again, Kim and Carol, and for everybody involved in both crafting the mission statement and implementing it, which is everybody in this room. I want to just give a little bit of preview for next week and an invitation and echo Keith's invitation to get involved with a small group or come back next week as we start our series on ways to pray in the Old Testament today. It'll be another LinkedIn series, which means what we're talking about in this space on Sunday mornings, what is being preached and considered in worship on Sunday mornings, and what's happening in several of the small groups throughout the week are all connected, so that we can deepen our faith, nurture our faith together through spiritual practices like prayer, learning from one another and learning from stories in Scripture. So, for Sunday, so I'm next week. And then Amir Samir from Egypt is going to be joining us. And then Kathy Sackenfeld, followed by Francis Kurtrishan and Tom Coogan.
And I just want to say, if you are unable to join a small group on this topic, get the study guide and do it on your own, or gather a couple friends to do it with you.
And if you're looking for the study guide, it'll be in the back of the room today. Thank you.